الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومطاعنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون. صدق الله العظيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: كل أمتي يدخلون الجنة إلا من أبى. قيل: ومن يأبى يا رسول الله؟ قال: من أطاعني دخل الجنة، ومن عصاني فقد أبى، أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected ulama ikram, elders, beloved brothers in Islam, as we mentioned last week, we have entered into a very mubarak, a very blessed phase or period of the Islamic calendar that can be evidenced by the dua that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us at the onset of Rajab: Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa balighna Ramadan. That Allah bless us in the months of Rajab and Sha'ban and cause us to remain alive to experience the Mubarak and the blessed Sayyid al-Shuhur, the leader of the months of the Islamic calendar, the month of Ramadan. This is a very great period, and to a very large extent, what is important and essential for each and every one of us to realize is that this is a time of period of reflection. This is a time for us to introspect. This is a time for us to realize that inexorably we are, every one of us, on a journey. And our destination, يَوْمَ يَقُومُ النَّاسُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, the day when each one of us will have to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that destination is drawing closer and closer and closer. This month of Rajab, to a very large extent, generally is synonymous with a very great mu'jiza and miracle which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed our beloved master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with. The miracle I am referring to is that of Mi'raj or Isra. Whilst the books of ahadith, verses of the Quran are full with recollections, indications towards this great mu'jiza and miracle. In fact, this occasion of Jumu'ah, it is impossible to even scratch the surface, even with my limited knowledge, to explain what a great miracle this was. The point, my respected brothers, unfortunately, many of us today, our deen, our shariat, has become a ritual. We are like machines. We are going through the motions, the haqaiq, the realities, the asbaq, the lessons. This great miracle, what are we supposed to revisit? What are we supposed to remind ourselves about? What changes should this Mi'raj bring in our lives? Illa mashallah, 99.9% of us, that reality doesn't dawn. Mi'raj comes, Mi'raj goes. 27th of Rajab night, the masjid will be packed. We'll hear about the Buraq, we'll hear about the Mi'raj, we'll hear about meeting the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. But what was the lesson? Did we make tawbah? Did we ponder and reflect about what the Mi'raj was supposed to remind us? This, unfortunately, to a very large extent, doesn't take place. Like I said, this occasion of Jumu'ah is very limited. But there are certain aspects. On the one hand, many muarrikhin, many historians are of the opinion that this Mi'raj constituted a form of consolation for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. On the one hand, he is that personality who said, "Udhitu fillahi ma lam yudha ahad. أخفت في الله ما لم يخف أحد ولقد أتت علي ثلاثون من بين يوم وليلة ما لي ولبلال ما يأكله ذو كبد إلا ما يواري به ابت بلال." He said, "I suffered in da'wat and tabligh, in propagating this religion in the way of Allah. I suffered more than any other human being in the annals of history. I was made to fear more than any human being in the annals of history. And they passed upon me and Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu that extent of faqa and hunger that the 30 days passed and there wasn't sufficient for both of us to eat besides what Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu could conceal underneath his armpits. This extent of mujahada, of difficulty, of tashaddud, of hardship, of tahammul, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam underwent in this field of da'wah and tabligh, in propagating this deen, in making effort for your and my hidayat, and the hidayat of the last person to come before qiyamah. Everything was placed on the mantle of sacrifice, yet there was a period in Makkah Mukarramah where this level of qurbani and sacrifice rose to mind-boggling levels. On the one hand, that great pillar of support, the beloved uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Abu Talib. Not going to go into the details, we've heard the incidents many times. What is the sabak? Just briefly, here was a personality who had such love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allama Suyuti rahimullah in his Qasaisi Kubra mentions one incident. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was 6 or 7 years of age. A delegation leaves Makkah Mukarramah, trade delegation to go to Syria. On the way they pass by an area where there is a famous monk and ascetic by the name of Bukhaira. Bukhaira Rahib, Bukhaira the monk, the ascetic. He was a true Christian, true follower of the Shariat of Isa alayhi salam. وَرَهْبَانِيَّةً ابْتَدَعُوهَا مَا كَتَبْنَاهَا عَلَيْهِمْ إِلَّا ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ اللَّهِ فَمَا رَعَوْهَا حَقَّ رِعَايَتِهَا. Allah speaks of the disciples and the followers of Isa alayhi salam. Some of them opted for a life of monasticism. They became ascetics. They cut themselves off from society. Allah says, we did not command them with that. Nevertheless, this man had built a worship place, a soma'a they used to call it, in a tree. For years, he had no interaction with any person. He became a very famous person because of his mujahada, exerting himself in ibadat. When the caravan of Abu Talib came near, this man sends a message to this caravan that I'm inviting you people for a meal. Someone who was never seen for years, if not decades, suddenly is prepared to come out of his worship place to interact with this group. What is so special about them? They are honored. They present themselves at midday for this da'wat that Bukhaira has prepared. They gather around his tree. Desert climate, shade is at a premium. And it's the middle of the day. Very little shade, whatever there was taken by the members of Abu Talib's delegation. Bukhaira comes out of his soma'a, looks around. What is he looking for? Allama Suyuti rahimullah mentions the riwayat, he's looking for the 6 or 7 year old boy that he knows is part of this delegation. He can't see him. First question, where is the youngster? They respond and they say, we left him behind to look after the camels. It's too small. Prominent occasion, leave him behind. Natural. What is Bukhaira's reaction? Irritated, upset. He said, you fools, it is because of that youngster I invited you. Send for him immediately. Allah's Rasul comes. There is no more shade. Whatever premium shade was there is taken already. Allah's Rasul sits in the direct glare of the sunlight. 6 or 7 year old boy, what happens? The clouds move. The clouds move to shade the body of the 7 year old boy. Bukhaira, everyone saw it. He brings it to their attention. He said, did you see what just happened? And then he goes on. Like Ali radiallahu ta'ala who said, once I walked with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَسْتَقْبَلَهُ حَجَرْ وَلَا شَجَرْ وَلَا مَدَرْ إِلَّا قَالَ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Ali says, I walked with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We did not pass by a tree. We did not pass by a stone. We did not pass by a sand heap. Except that it addressed him and said, As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. Buhaira says, every tree this young boy passed made sajda to him, greeted him. This is exactly what would happen to the previous Anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam. They would receive shade from the clouds also. Buhaira then begins an interview. Who is this youngster? Abu Talib stands up. His love rushes forth. His love compels him to say, this is my son, this is my child. Bukhaira, who has never met them before, addresses Abu Talib with absolute conviction, and he says, you are a liar. The scriptures that were revealed upon me inform me that the father of this child passed away before he was born. You cannot be his biological father. Abu Talib, hearing this, admits. But the point, one hand, Allah is making intizam for the hidayat of Abu Talib. Allah's mercy, signs are being given. But, there will be no compulsion. There will be no compulsion. There will be no compulsion. Abu Talib didn't heed the signs. But what was his response to Bukhaira? His response was, yes, you are right. He is not my child, but I love him more than my own children. I love him more than my own children. Abu Talib left no stone unturned in the protection of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to such an extent that the kuffar of Makkah, they form a delegation. They come to Abu Talib and they say to him, if you continue to protect your youngster, and your nephew, and he continues with what he is doing. What? What did they have a problem with? I mentioned this many times before. Understand, accept, bring it in our hearts. The kuffar of Makkah had no problem with the salah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They had no problem with his zikr. They had no problem with his ibadat. Before Nubuwwat in the cave of Hira, he would worship Allah for days on end. His food would run out. Khadija radiallahu anha would bring renewed provisions for him. At that time, Makkah revered him. Makkah honored him. When he would walk the streets, it would resound, Al-Amin As-Sadiq, Al-Amin As-Sadiq. The truthful one is coming. The honest one is coming. The trustworthy one is coming. Revered and honored, loved by the people of Makkah Mukarramah. They had no problem with his ibadat. They had problem with his da'wat. They had problem with his tabligh. They had problem with this calling person to person, gully to gully, tent to tent, door to door. Stop him from what he is doing. Oh Abu Talib, we are no longer going to accept your protection. Na'uzubillah, we are going to kill him. Abu Talib, worried, sends for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh my beloved nephew. Oh my beloved nephew, stop what you are doing. Abu Talib naturally loved him more than his own children, fearing for the life of Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Stop what you are doing. Otherwise I can no longer guarantee I will be able to protect you. What is the impediment? What is the plea? What is the imploration of Abu Talib? Stop da'wat and tabligh. Stop calling humanity to Allah. Stop this effort of deen. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Various riwayat, time is limited, I'm mentioning one of them. Turns to Abu Talib And he says to him, مَا أَنَا بِأَقْدَرْ مِنْ أَنْ أَدَعْ مَا بُعِثْتُ بِهِ مِنْ أَنْ يُشْعِلَ أَحَدُكُمْ مِنْ هَذِهِ الشَّمْسِ شُعْلَةَ نَارٍ. Oh, my beloved uncle. Literal translation. Those of us who feel Dawat and Tabligh is the work of one Jamaat and one group or one organization is being discharged, we have no responsibility. 7 billion insan can go to Jahannam. My business, my family and my personal ibadat is sufficient for my akhirat. Those of us who have fallen into this deception, I'm sitting on the minbar of the masjid and I'm saying this not in error. Those of us who have fallen into this deception that this is sufficient, when 95% of the believing ummah is away from the masjid, when every command of Allah is being broken, when our youth on a daily basis by the manner in which the direction that they are going, Allah protect us, if they do not make tawbah, they have already become the coals of Jahannam. When Jahannam is burning in every direction, when every command of Allah is being destroyed, when the sunnah is being made a mockery of, when this ummah is being kicked from pillar to post, when the tide of protection from Allah, His promise of ismat and protection that is directly linked to tabligh, is no longer being fulfilled, a clear indication that this ummah has turned its back on its responsibility in the light of this current situation. If we are still going to continue to be ostriches with our heads in the ground and have this mindset that tabligh is not my work, somebody else's work, somebody else's responsibility, carrying on, make dua for them, let them carry on, not my responsibility. My respected brothers, with the ears of iman, with the ears of the heart, hear this response that our beloved master sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave Abu Talib at which juncture? My nephew, they are going to kill you, stop this. What does he say? He says, oh my uncle, it will be easier for me to take a burning flame and hold it in my hand. In other words, it will be easier for me for my entire body to be burnt and scorched with fire than me giving up this responsibility of Dawat and Tabligh. This is literal translation of what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to Abu Talib. Thumma sta'bara wa baka. Such is the emotion with which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says this. He says this to his uncle and then he bursts into tears. He starts crying profusely. Abu Talib, seeing this, seeing the emotion, seeing the determination, says, carry on. وَلَقَدْ صَدَقْتَ وَقَدْ كُنْتَ قَبْلُ أَمِينًا وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْتُ بِأَنَّ دِينَ مُحَمَّدٍ مِنْ خَيْرِ أَدْيَانِ الْبَرِيَّةِ دِينًا لَوْلَا الْمَلَامَةُ أَوْ حَذَارَ مَسَبَّةٍ لَوَجَدْتَنِي سَمِحًا بِذَاكَ مُبِينًا. Oh my nephew, carry on with what you have doing. You have spoken the truth and you will always speak the truth. And because of that, Allah's help will be with you. You will be protected. And then what does Abu Talib, he says, I know in my heart that the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best of every religion. If you do not, for the fear that the women of Quraysh will taunt me, that out of the fear of death or old age, I abandoned the religion of my forefathers, I would have openly recited your kalima. What was the extent that Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam desired the hidayat of Abu Talib? He's Allahu Akbar. Who greater personality than the best of this ummah? Who greater personality than the best of humanity after Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam? Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, to translate this for us. One day, Abu Bakr expresses, he says, if Allah called me, and Allah made me stand in His court, and He said to me, Abu Bakr, on the one side your father Abu Quhafa, on the other side Abu Talib, you choose Abu Quhafa, Jahannam forever and ever, or Abu Talib, Jahannam forever and ever. Abu Bakr, with tears in his eyes, he says, at that juncture, I would have told Allah, Ya Allah, give Abu Talib hidayat. Give Abu Talib hidayat, even if it means depriving my own father of hidayat. Why? Because this would have cooled the eyes of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This would have cooled the heart of my Nabi. They saw the pain. They saw the suffering. They saw the hurt. He stood on the side of the deathbed of Abu Talib. First he addressed the kuffar of Makkah. And what he said to them, Kalimatun wahida, tudinu bihal arab, wa tu'ati lakum al ajam al jizya. I am inviting you. I am inviting you to one kalima, one declaration, one statement. What will happen? If you accept this, tudinu bihal arab, you will become the masters of the entire Arab world, and the non-Arab world will pay you taxes. Allah will make you the ruler of the entire world if you will declare one kalima. Abu Talib, Abu Jahl strikes his thigh in shock, in excitement. What does he say? Naam wa abika ashra kalimat. Give us 10 kalimas. Rule the whole world. Give us 10 kalimas. They knew that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not lie. They knew he spoke the truth. What is the reaction? Qulu la ilaha illallah. Qulu la ilaha illallah. Tuflihu. Say la ilaha illallah. Say there is only one deity. One Allah. One Malik. One Khaliq. One Razik. The heavens and the earth belongs to him. Our lives belong to him. Everything is from him. Everything will return back to him. Give this da'wat to Allah's greatness. To Allah's greatness. To Allah's greatness. This is a necessity. Especially in this current environment. We have to give da'wat on a daily basis. We have to invite towards the sifat of Allah, the attributes of Allah, the greatness of Allah. The greatest crime, zulm, oppression that has overtaken this ummah today is that the muazzin calls out, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And that cry, that call does not cause the chords of our heart to reverberate in the khashiyat and the khawf and the azmat of Allah. We have not made that effort to introduce Allah in our lives. We have not moved away from this direction where Allah has to be the primary goal and objective of our very existence. To attach ourselves to Allah, to call towards Allah, to invite towards Allah, to have the fikr and worry that one person of humanity is linked to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When they hear this, أَجَعَلَ الْآلِهَةَ إِلَٰهًا وَاحِدًا إِنَّ هَذَا لَشَيْءٌ عُجَابٌ. What are you saying? What are you saying? Have you made all the gods into one god? If you made all the gods into one god, this is something shocking. This is something astonishing. We will not accept this. Finally, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam turns to Abu Talib, entreats his uncle, begs his uncle. Hidayat is in Allah's hands. Hidayat is in Allah's hands. The sincere talab was not there. This is that person who gave everything for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Left no stone unturned. Was persecuted 3 years in the valley of Abu Talib. Hunger, boycotted. They had to eat leaves from the trees. All this was withstood. All this was withstood to such an extent. To such an extent that when Ubaidullah bin Haris radiallahu ta'ala anhu is injured in Badr and brought to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the first shaheed of Badr, he looks at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the last gasp of life. What does he say to Rasulullah? What does he say to my Nabi? He says to him, in Shi'abi Abi Talib, in Shi'abi Abi Talib, in the valley of Abu Talib. Abu Talib, when faced with the adversity of the people of Makkah, such adversity, such persecution, such torture, that Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to see his own beloved daughter, Fatima radiallahu anha, holding the dress of her mother, Ummi Alatash, Ummi Alatash, Ummi Alatash, oh my mother, I am thirsty, oh my mother, I am thirsty, oh my mother, I am thirsty. At that time, Abu Talib recited a poem, what is called Qasida Lamia, 90 verses, كذبتم وبيت الله نبزا محمدا ولما نطعن دونه ونناضلي ونسلمه حتى نصر حوله ونذهل عن أبنائنا والحلائل وأبيض يستسقى الغمام بوجهه ثمال اليتامى عصمة للأرامل. 90 poems, 90 verses, No time to go into the details. What was the crux of it? What was the crux of it? You are demanding you will restore our rights, O Quraysh of Makkah. You are saying we can return back to our homes. You are saying we can continue trading. Otherwise, you will boycott us. We will die hungry. We will die thirsty. We will never be able to return back to our homes unless we hand Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam over to you. What is the meaning of this poem? Abu Talib says, forget hunger, forget strife, forget persecution, forget boycotting us. You will have to slaughter every one of us. You will have to create a mountain of the corpses of the Banu Hashim before we will let you even touch one hair on the body of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A kafir and this type of love. One who did not have iman and this type of devotion. Understand the price. There is no price tag that we can put on this iman. There is no effort that will be too less to protect this iman. In this age of zulmat, in this age of kufr, in this age of darkness, in this age when we are by our own hands that we have introduced those shaitan boxes, those plasma screens, those instruments of kufr, shirk, batil, behaya in our homes, and are physically, mentally destroying the very essence of iman of our children. Look at our youth today. Who are they emulating? Who are they following? Where are they learning these things from? Do they revere our beloved Nabi? Do they revere Sunnah? Or are they wearing some other dressing? Some other identity? Are our masjids not empty of our youth? What has happened to this entire generation gap of 17 to 35? The father's beard is white. He's 5 times a day in the masjid. Tomorrow he's going to go into the qabr. Tomorrow he's going to go into the qabr. And Allah has said, وَأَمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاسْتَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. Allah has commanded you. It is farz upon you that you make effort on your family. You are making salah. It is not sufficient. Your salah is not sufficient. Your salah is not sufficient. Your ibadat is not sufficient. Understand, tabligh is a lifeline. Tabligh is a responsibility. Tabligh is a command of Allah. With your family, with the rest of humanity, there is no turning back on this command. Protect the iman of your youth. Protect the iman of your families. Protect the iman of your societies. I'm sitting on the minbar of the masjid. The first step. Link yourself to the masjid. Second step, get rid of that shaitan box from your home. Get rid of that instrument of zalalat, of kufr, of shirk, of batil, of behayai, of shamelessness. There is no license for photography. There is no license for videography. There is no license for the music and the shamelessness and the nakedness that is attached to this culture. Islam is based on simplicity. Islam is based on haya. Islam is based on chastity. For the sake of your very iman, wake up to this reality. Wake up to this reality. Wake up to the plots of the enemies of Islam. Don't be the architect by your own hand of destroying the iman of your children. Don't plant these seeds of behayai, of shamelessness, of kufr, of questioning shariat, questioning Quran, questioning hadith, questioning the words of my Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is a direct result of attachment with that instrument of batil that by our own hands we have put into our homes. Cry tears of blood when you pass that Muslim home and you see that satellite dish on top. Cry tears of blood when you go in gush and you enter the Muslim home and the first thing you see emblazoned in front of you is that instrument of nakedness. There is no price tag on your iman. There is no price tag that you can put on the iman of your children. Abu Talib, the beloved of Rasulullah, what didn't he give? Kill all of us, we won't let you go near him. Persecute us. Destroy us, we will not let you go near my nephew. Ubaydullah bin Harith says to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Talib, in Shi'ab Abi Talib said those words. He said those words in the valley of Abu Talib. The reality was not there. Today is the reality. And then he looks at my Nabi, Alastu shaheedan ya Rasulullah. Am I not a shaheed? Am I not a martyr? Am I not a martyr? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Bala, yes, Allah has accepted your shahadat. Coming back to this, Abu Talib leaves the world on the words, Ala Deen Abdul Muttalib, Ala Deen Abdul Muttalib. I am dying on the religion of Abdul Muttalib. understand the value of Iman. Bukhari Sharif Riwayat, Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam describes one person in Jahannam. Inna ahwana ahli an-nari adhaban la rajulun yudau fi akhmasi qadamayhi jamratan yaghli minhuma dimaghuhu. Allahu Akbar, such a graphic description. Jahannam is not a fairy tale. Jannat is not a fairy tale. It is the cry of our elders. Introduce the halaqat of ta'lim in your homes. Qala Allah, qala Rasul, muzakara of Jannat and Jahannam. Talk to your children. Spend quality time with your families. Introduce the conviction of akhirat. Such a description. Such a description my Nabi is giving, as if he is seeing it. He says there will be one person. There will be one person in Jahannam. Two coals of fire will be placed underneath his feet. My Nabi says such will be the intensity. Such will be the intensity of the heat of these two coals of fire. They are underneath his feet. Yet what will happen? One riwayat he says, yaghli minhuma dimaghuhu. Another riwayat he said, yasilu biha dimaghuhu. He says his brains will start boiling. One riwayat my Nabi said, the brains of this person will start melting. Ma yara anna ahadan ashadda minhu adaba. This person will think to himself that, ya Allah, no one is suffering. No one can possibly be suffering as much as I am suffering. No one can be feeling pain and torture like how I am feeling. My Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sadiqul Masduq sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rahmatul lil alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What does he say? He says, wa innahu. He says, wa innahu la ahwanuhum adab. He says, in the whole of Jahannam, there is no azab that is lighter than this. This is the lightest azab of Jahannam. There is nothing lighter than this. And ulama say, this azab is reserved for Abu Talib. In cognizance of the devotion, but the criteria, innahu, this is Allah's sunnat. This is Allah's sunnat. It can be a benefactor. It can be a welfare worker. It can be a humanitarian, whoever it may be. But innahu may yushrik billah faqad harrama Allahu alayhi al-janna wa ma'wahu an-nar. This is Quran, this is Allah's sunnat. The one who dies on shirk with Allah, the one who dies in shirk with Allah, Jahannam is haram upon Jannat is haram upon him, and his abode will be Jahannam. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so hurt. Quran comes down, innaka la tahdi man ahbab walakin Allah yahdi man yasha. Oh my Nabi, you cannot give hidayah to whom you want. Allah gives hidayah to whom he wants. Hidayah is in Allah's hands. Beg for hidayah, make the effort of hidayah, cry for hidayah for ourselves, for the entire humanity. One hand, demise of Abu Talib. One hand, demise of Sayyidina Khadijatul Kubra radiallahu anha, the beloved wife and support of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Other hand, the incident of Taif, a mountain of grief. Amul Huzn, the year of grief. Many muarikhin say, as solace and comfort after that, Mi'raj took place, like I mentioned. There's no time to go into the details. Allah gives opportunity, and some other time we will continue. Let us take the sabak. Let us take the lesson. Let us take the understanding. Let us understand our responsibility. Allah gives us tawfiq wa akhirah.